Hey, good morning, church family. How are we today? Man, what a beautiful day it is out there. So glad that you're joining us this morning. I have friends with me today. People always know Keenan loves friends. Keenan loves hanging out with people. And so today you're going to get to meet Vicky, who helps lead some of our prayer efforts here and takes care of so much in terms of care. This is Vicky, Vicky Drew. And we always know we're on a ride when Kurt is on the platform. And so we got Kurt, our outreach pastor, with us today. Hey, today, the sermon title today, and it's going to be more of a discussion in a panel, can we hear from God? Right, we're going to talk about hearing from God, what it means to hear from Him, both through His Word and through His voice. And so today is going to be a discussion around what that's looked like in our lives, what we see in the Scriptures, and how we can press further in to hear from our Father in heaven. Wouldn't that be a good deal? Wouldn't that be a good deal? That we can hear from Him, we can walk with Him, we can do the things that His Son did because we're with Him. We're becoming more like Him. And that's the commission for us as disciples of Jesus. And so you're joining us online. We're so glad you're with us. If you're a guest with us for the first time, thank you for joining us. We hope to meet you in the Discover East Point room outside of the welcome desk after the service in Cumberland County Jail. We're here for you. And we're glad that you're tuning in. We're glad that you're with us. And so if you're at Cumberland County Jail or here in the church and you want to know how we plowed our way into Cumberland County, how we work with the chaplain there and work in the pods, Kurt is instrumental in that. Kurt is instrumental connecting, working through, and so we have a campus. Our first campus is Cumberland County Jail. Does that sound good? The first of many to come, right? So we're so glad to be here today, and so I just want to ask you, Kurt and Vicky, what does it mean to hear from God?
First, I wish someone had a joke.
You have
a joke? Oh, Vicky has a joke.
I have two this morning. Yeah. You ready for a joke, Keenan?
I can't wait for your jokes, Vicky.
All right. So the first one is, since our theme is the garden, why are the tomatoes always red in the garden?
I don't know, Vicky.
Well, the tomatoes are always red because they saw the salad dressing.
Get it?
Oh.
That was not a pre-approved joke.
All right, you ready for the next one?
I can't wait.
Okay. Why shouldn't you tell secrets in the garden?
Kurt, do you know why you shouldn't tell secrets in the garden?
No, I can't imagine.
Because the potatoes have eyes and the corn has ears.
Oh, man. Yeah. Give it up for Vicky's jokes this morning. That's good.
Pretty racy.
Yeah. So we're actually going to talk about having ears to hear and eyes to see today. So that fits good.
Fits perfectly,
well done.
Doesn't it?
We got to have you up here more often, Vicky.
Yeah, you should know.
So what does it mean to hear from God this morning? Kurt,
well, you know what? Mind? I think I don't think we can possibly even highlight the importance of that. Mm-hmm. And hopefully as we come out of today, if anybody wasn't sure of that, we will do that. Because I think the hearing from God is really the expression of our relationship with Him. Mm. Because it's a covenant. He's giving back with us as we pray. Jesus was talking to Satan in the desert, and he said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So we need to hear that. Jesus told his disciples that my words are spirit and they are life. Jesus was praying to the Father, and he said, "This is eternal life, to know you and your Son Jesus." Mm. So there's just nothing that surpasses what he wants to give to us.
Vicky, your thoughts?
Yeah, for me, hearing from God means presence. Mm. You know, Psalm 16:11 says, "At your right side, I experience divine pleasures forevermore. In your presence, there's fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore." And that's what we get to experience when we spend time and abide with Him. And He really wants us to have that presence 24/7.
Yeah.
And it's something that we can cultivate, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, man. Well, I'm excited to hear from you guys on this whole topic. I know For me, I've, as this journey with walking towards Jesus, I kind of, just even years ago, I'm sitting there saying, what do you mean you can hear from God, when I started this journey with Jesus? And then as I started hearing more and more from him, it was almost as if the one that I see in the scripture as I read the word is coming to life in me, right? The Spirit of God has come to make his home within me. And I think whenever I hear from him, whether it's through circumstance or people or this conviction in my spirit, anybody else feel that like stirring in your soul when you're walking along and maybe there's just something there like, what is going on in me? For me, it's this calibration. It's like this reminder that the Father says, hey, I'm your dad and I have purposes for you. So calibration is a word that comes to mind for me. But Kurt, you had an interesting thought on even Hebrews chapter 5.
Yeah. Right? Well, it's just, it's kind of, it sounds negative, so don't take it that way. But this is out of the, from Hebrews 5:11, it's out of the Amplified. It says this, he's talking about people who are still drinking milk and they really should be onto some solid food by now. Mm. And he says, concerning this, we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insight. Mm. And I say to that, I say, stop it. Right? We want to knock that off. So speaking of that, how do we hear from him? So a couple of ways, and this is not a cut and dried definition, but it sort of falls into these categories. There are these two Greek words, rhema and logos, whereas logos is the beginning. It's the Bible itself, and it's used, for instance, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, about Jesus. Logos is used in Hebrews 4 when it talks about the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides joint and marrow, soul and spirit. It reveals the thoughts and intents of our hearts, our motives. So those are logos we get from the Word that Keenan was mentioning. But now rhema is more the expression of God to us, almost him speaking to us. If the Bible is the logos, then a verse or two would be rhema, something that jumps out to us. And we see that in a number of different places. One place that's kind of fascinating is when Gabriel is talking to Mary in Luke 1. He says, nothing is impossible with God. Yeah. Doesn't even seem like it would be in there, does it? But here's what the Amplified would say about that. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. No word from God shall ever be without power or impossible of fulfillment. When he says nothing is impossible, that no thing is the word rhema.
Rhema.
And that's what God wants to give us. You hear it in Matthew 4 about we don't live on bread alone, but by every word. We hear it in John 15 where he talks about if we remain in him and his words remain in us, we can ask whatever we want, it'll be done for us. His words are rhema. In Romans 10, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that his word coming to us builds our faith. And then finally, just this is a lot more in here, but these stick out to me. Ephesians 6 says, and we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in that passage, that's really the only offensive weapon that is there. And I think as we talk today, we'll talk about our experiences of hearing a word from him and how that's so encouraging in overcoming the enemy.
If you ever wonder what it's like hanging out with Kurt, you just got a snippet of it, right? That there's this fount of knowledge of who Jesus is as we encounter him in the word, in the logos, right? As we look at the scripture itself, this group of 66 books, this teaches us the character of God. This teaches us who our Father in heaven really is and his redemption story from the beginning of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. And so my encouragement to anybody listening in, if your heart is desiring to hear from God, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, I had a friend who was in a small group who's probably in this auditorium today, and he kind of looked at me and he said, Keenan, you can't hear from God. You can't do it. I've never heard from God. I've been following Jesus all my life. I've been in the church all my life. And I handed him a book. It was called Whisper by Mark Batterson. And I'll tell you, his life has been changed because what he did is he got back in the Word. And all of a sudden, God's Word that he sees in the Scripture has birthed in him this understanding of who the Father is. So when the Father speaks to his soul, he says, I know whose voice that is. I know whose voice that is. And so today, I think what's important for us is go right to the Word. We're going to go to the Logos, but we want to understand that we can hear His rhema, His spoken Word, the Word that resonates deep in our hearts because we're consuming the bread of life, that we're consuming every word that comes from the mouth of God. So I'm going to read through a passage in Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 1. And this is Jesus with his disciples. They're around the Sea of Galilee. We've talked a lot about some of his parables and teachings around this region. What's kind of neat about this is we're going to see that Jesus stepped into a boat out onto the lake so he could speak to all these listeners. And Kurt and I recently were in Israel and saw a location on the lake where they believe this was the spot that Jesus actually did this teaching. And it was kind of a cove that you could imagine, kind of an inlet into the land. And there was this almost natural amphitheater that was up on the hillside. And you could see this is exactly where Jesus, proclaiming his teaching, everybody could hear as the new Messiah, the Messiah who's come into the world to save these people, was sitting on a boat teaching these common folk about the kingdom of God. And so we're going to see that here starting in verse 1 in Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying this: a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" Right? Why the riddles, Jesus? Just speak clearly. Well, this is Jesus' response. "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah: you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." So Jesus is explaining to the disciples, this is why I teach in parables, because I've given you this understanding through your seeing and your hearing that not everybody has been given, especially the religious people who have gotten so caught up in their structures and their traditions that they're never going to be able to perceive the things of the kingdom of God. And so then Jesus, to finish his teaching out, actually explains the parable. And this is where we're going to be settling in today. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil," listen to this, "the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." So what's important to see here, guys?
You know, one thing that pops up to me as we're reading this, and I think it's in the Gospel of Mark when Jesus says this one. He says, if you don't get this parable, how are you going to get any of the parables? Mm. And I think that's so key about our hearing from him. But just one thing that I'm seeing is that First of all, we recognize that the seed is that message of the kingdom and how that message of the kingdom has to go into fertile soil. And probably an encouragement we need to have is that at one time in our lives, we were probably all one or another of these soils. But what's important to do as we listen to this message is to persevere, to bring the fertilizer out, to get rid of the rocks, to hire some service to come in and come there like we do on my lawn at home. So, but no, don't do that. But it's there for us. Mm-hmm. Everything that Jesus said is there for us. We can look forward to that.
What are your thoughts, Vicki?
Yeah, well, what comes to mind for me is Proverbs 4:23, which says, guard your heart more than anything else, for out of it flows the springs of life, you know. And like Kurt said, the soil are the various kinds of hearts that we have throughout our time with the Lord. And we want to persevere towards that good soil. So I go back to what Jesus said in verse 23, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. And what do you think that word understands mean? Are we talking about an intellectual knowledge of understanding, or do you think there's something deeper there?
What do you think, Kurt?
I think we got to have some sticky spirit in us to understand it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I see it as an obedience thing well, right? Understanding and obeying, right? And applying what we're hearing, that rhema that we're hearing as we read the Logos, then we apply it and act on it. It's obedience, and that's what helps us grow.
And I think for me personally, as I've read through this passage over and over and over, I think that also helps till the soil of my heart, right? That as we're in the Word, as we're understanding His truths, all of a sudden our understanding starts clicking and getting recalibrated to the point that we're not just reading words on a page. We're not just reveling in the teachings of Jesus so that way we can memorize them and quote them and say, look at me. It's this deep heart understanding. Oh, I get the gospel. I get the fact why Jesus had to come for me. I get the commission He has on my life. It becomes less of a knowledge in our heads and more of an understanding in our hearts that starts informing our actions and behaviors. Would you agree?
Well, it's almost a supernatural curiosity that we need to cultivate. Otherwise, we're just going to read the words and we'll just move on to the next words. But there's so much more in here that we can mine. So be okay with just sitting on a phrase or a word for as long as it takes.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, note that these soils quite often, and I think incorrectly, get said as this percentage of people, right? That if you have four people in your life and you're trying to share Jesus with them, that you can bank on the fact that three of every four aren't going to hear it because their soils are going to be like the path or like the rocky soil or the weedy soil. And that's not the case. Jesus is showing us that this soil we're able to cultivate this soil in our hearts and so are other people. That this isn't just a one in every four are going to hear it. No, start searching for those whose hearts are ready to receive the seed.
That's right. And the more we do receive that word, we become sincere seekers rather than casual hearers.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to be sincere in our pursuit of Jesus.
Sincere seekers.
Yeah, versus casual hearers.
Man, so you are good, Vicki.
Thanks. You know.
So how many of us, if we really kind of just even in this moment think, are we sincere seekers of the voice of God? Or are we just casual hearers? I think casual kind of is a good word picture, right? Do we just show up? We're just, oh, Jesus, if you got something for me, great. Or are we like Jesus, where He's seeking His Father's voice? He's seeking His Father's will. We see the disciples seeking after the things of the Spirit of God. Is that our heart posture? Are we sitting back, or are we leaning into Him? Right, I think that's the goal, is when we're in a posture ready to hear from Him, we're in the seeking posture, man, He's faithful to give us His Word. And so I think we're going to analyze the soils a little bit to kind of figure out maybe there's points in our lives that we've been rocky. Maybe there's people in this auditorium that feel like, well, the soil in my life's pretty rocky right now, or I feel like just this tread on beaten path where the seed's not going to take root. So we're going to kind of analyze that. So the first soil we see in the text is the path, where the evil one snatches the seed. There's no root, right? It's almost when we share the gospel and it kind of bounces off somebody as if they're like, oh, well, Well, good for you. I'm glad you believe that, but not for me, right? That they actually might believe Satan's lies more than they believe the truths of the gospel. And I don't know if you guys have any examples in your life where that was just the case for a while.
Right. Well, it seems like to me that's even before casuality, that Vicky, so you're totally uninterested. You're oblivious with what's going on there. I would say for me, when I was growing up in the church and I was being told about hell and everything, I thought about it. But then when I got out for a dozen years or so, I didn't think about it at all. Mm. And I would have to be that.
Yeah. Just see you getting scattered on the path.
Yeah.
What about you, Vicky? Mm.
Yeah, when I think about the path, it says by the wayside, right? So the seed is just rolling off the path because the path is so hard. Mm-hmm. And so I think of unbelievers who have maybe they feel been burned by God in some way. Mm. He has an answer to prayer that they sent up. And so they've hardened their hearts and they don't want to, they cannot receive the truth of. Actually, they've chosen not to receive the truth because of their perception of who God is.
Of who God is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's very similar to Kurt's story for me, right? That there was this season of life where the reality that Jesus came for me did not affect my heart. And maybe there's people here in the auditorium where you recognize, oh man, there was a season of my life that apart from Jesus, I was just good living the life apart from him.
Yeah. You know, from our role as eventually when we get to the good soil, right? Even though these folks aren't listening at all and seems like they don't care, they're still getting the seed.
They're still getting the seed.
And so we've got to be about that business.
Okay, so number two is the rocky soil. And I think as we progress into these, we can start looking at even our own personal hearts and wondering, why are we not hearing from God? Why does it seem like these super spiritual people are always walking with Jesus and I'm far away? Well, maybe there's some introspective thinking here, understanding to say maybe the soil of my life might not be what I think it is. Or maybe there's a little more work to be done, right? So the soil, number two, is the rocky soil where the seed is initially received with joy. Oh, this is good news. This is great. This is exciting. Jesus came for me. But there's no root. Man, what does that look like when there's no root?
You know, it seems like feelings that are born out of emotions are really just that, feelings, versus feelings that are born out of relationship.
Yeah.
That's what becomes nurtured. And so you're essentially rootless if you're just having feelings out of emotion because the emotions are going to go away. Mm. We can even come here and you can have this tremendous experience with worship, but if you go back home and you still don't have those feelings are good, by the way, but if they're born out of the experience rather than the relationship, they're not going to last long.
Yeah, or, you know, I think about early in our walks with the Lord. I know this for me is I was striving to receive love from him, not realizing that he loved me just because he made me and he desired relationship with me. I didn't have to do anything. I still don't have to do anything to receive his love. He just loves me. Right. So even when I sin, he still loves me. Mm. But more and more as I get to know him and what a good father he is, then I realize that, oh, I don't want to do those things anymore, you know? And so I think of the person here, the rocks, there, some of us, and I've been there too, carry these rocks that we're afraid to give up, anxiety, depression, and we have this lack of trust because we haven't fully given ourselves over. So there's some good soil there, but then there's all these rocks in the way. So it takes some work and effort, but really just getting in his presence, that's the work. And he does the rest. He takes those rocks right out of the soil.
Yeah, it paints this picture for where I'm from. Potato harvesting is a big deal, right? Don't buy Idaho potatoes. Don't do it. I'll point you to the Maine farmers if you need to meet somebody, right? But the worst part about planting potatoes was picking rocks in June. Many people don't realize that in Maine, the frost forces up these rocks into the soil that you intend to plant your potato seed in. But if the rocks are there, your harvest is going to be just broken and busted and bruised. So you actually had to spend weeks of the summer in the heat of June picking rocks out of the field so then you could plant. And I think that's what I see in this, is Jesus is saying, hey, there's rocks that become troublesome and bump you and bruise you. And Jesus even says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And I think that's to your point, Vicky, is sometimes we can hold on to these rocks in our lives that actually are going to hinder the growth, the root-taking in our lives. And so as we look at soil number three, it's kind of similar, but there's this growing up with the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth. And so the thorns and the weeds can exist in the gardens of our lives, can they not? That we think, oh, there's some growth here. And then we start realizing, oh, well, that's not necessarily the growth that I had intended. And this is starting to take over more and more in my life. So the worries of this life, you can name them in your life, but the worries that take our minds off of the goodness of God and focus on the worries and the troubles in this life. And it's funny that Jesus says the deceitfulness of wealth.
It's a liar.
And it so chokes the word. It makes it unfruitful. And I think there's a lot of us, I say us in this room, maybe us across the country, that this is where a lot of the American church is existing, unfortunately. That we're existing within the weeds of the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, and it's choking out our fruitfulness. Might sound a little harsh, but maybe we've got to do a little tilling and tending of our own garden. What do you guys think?
I think you could almost connect the two. You could say that the worries of this life come out of the deceitfulness of wealth. Mm. Because in the pursuit of stuff, we find that we're not satisfied ever. Matter of fact, I think this soil tends to make the most miserable people of all, because there are actually roots down there, but they're roots that aren't being fed. They're roots that are being choked out, and you know the truth. Right. And so you're not getting the best of either world. You're not enjoying, you're not deceived by the wealth and enjoying it, but you're also not enjoying the relationship that we have with God available to us. So you're just in this middle ground of nothingness. And you could almost say he's trying to pull you back during that time.
What do you think, Vicky?
Yeah, so the phrase that came to my mind was, at times we want our cake and Jesus too, but the deceitfulness in that is that's a lie too, right? We can't have our cake and keep control of our lives and all the stuff and have the fullness of Jesus. We can have a piece of him, but we're robbing ourselves of that fullness that he has for us that we don't know until we start to really get to know him and dig deep.
So the good soil, someone who hears the word and understands it, somebody who actually hears what God is speaking to them and understands it and, dare I say, leads them to act on it. And what does that mean for us as followers of Jesus? Is this our end goal, and what does this produce in our lives? Kurt, you're up.
Yeah, well, it's a perpetual thing. And it goes back to verse 12, that if we listen, he's going to give us even more. And it's a picture of a snowball, that we're going to make a snowman. And what do? You start with a little snowball, and you keep rolling it and rolling, and it keeps adding up, and eventually you have this big snowman. So you have to have that intentionality, that perseverance, and that hope that says, I am in good soil, I will have a good crop, and it's just going to be there. Mm. It's a guarantee.
Yeah. What you, Vicky?
Yeah, I read this quote by Andrew Murray, or about Andrew Murray, I wanted to read. It says, he had such consciousness of God's presence that no matter who came to him, the presence of the Father was so upon him. And I thought, you know, that's what I want to strive for, is that kind of intimacy with him and friendship with the Father, that no matter what's going on around me, no matter the craziness of the moment, I'm still aware of his presence. And so for me, that good soil, getting all the roots out and the thorns out and the weeds out, allows that flow to happen from the root system to my heart, you know.
Well, the early disciples believed this deeply, and I think for some of us, we get caught in this lie that, well, Jesus is this unattainable lifestyle and presence here on earth, and we're just going to kind of hover under his shadow, and we're going to make it to the pearly gates, and we're going to have our account, and hopefully it's enough to get us in to heaven, right? We live this kind of American earn it your way lifestyle, but the early disciples said, if we're in Jesus, we should be living lives as Jesus did, right? And Jesus talks about in John chapter 5 that what he receives, hears, sees his Father doing, that's what he's about. And for us, how often are we actually turning our faces to the Father and saying, Father, what do you want me to be about? Right? We take our playbook from the world, sometimes from the scripture, and we try to mash it together, kind of the cake and eat it too. And yet this soil is this clean slate for God to say, let me put my seed in here and watch this grow into this abundant harvest. Right? Jesus says, if my word remains in you and you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Like, as we remain in him, as we rest in his presence, as we till the soil of our lives, we're going to hear from him, and our lives are going to be fruitful.
You go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I was just thinking about that. We haven't really talked much about that fruit, but that's the whole thing here, right? He wants to fill us up, and we can have this great friendship with him, and he gives us a seat at his table. But he wants us to bear fruit. And the whole idea is that we're missional. And that's what this church is all about. We're missional.
That's right.
So we got to get whole, church, so that we can go out and help others get whole. You know,
that's
so
right.
No,
you were talking about the cake and eating it. There's an exclusivity, as Keenan pointed out, the passage in John 5. Jesus says he sees what the Father does, but he says, I only do what I see the Father doing. Then I only say what I hear the Father saying. He's not just saying, oh, this is just a piece of what I'm about. No, this is all he's about. Mm-hmm. And the good soil will move us more and more toward that way. Mm-hmm. And that might almost seem like, oh, that doesn't sound fun. But there's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it. Oh, that's good. Well, Jesus goes on to teach, and we just wanted to highlight this because I think this is the crux of the passage, right? Where we see the parable be told, many people in the midst say, I don't know what this Jesus is teaching. And the disciples were even, why are you speaking to us in parables, Jesus? Jesus makes a really stark contrast and point to the disciples. And looking in the New Living Translation, in chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, Jesus says, You disciples are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. So that as we lean into his teaching, as we lean into living lives of obedience to what he's telling us, both through the word and through the stirrings in our soul and the voice that he speaks to us through, more understanding is going to be given. And so as this compounding reality of following Jesus turns into clarity of voice from the Father, as we just step out a little bit in obedience, he starts giving us more. And I don't know what you guys think about that as we understand this. More is going to be given to us as we follow Jesus.
Thinking of James 1, I think it's 21, it says to shed off all the things of the world, right? Mm-hmm. And receive the word implanted in our hearts that we might be saved, that our souls might be saved. And some of us have received Jesus and he's our Savior, but he's always saving us and drawing us closer. So it's really powerful.
Mm. I think we can have an expectancy about it. Not that God owes it to us, but he promised it to us.
Right.
Therefore, we can say, we want it. In James 4, there's a passage different people interpret it in different ways, that his spirit is jealous for us.
Yeah.
And we need to have that same jealousy then for what he has for us.
Mm.
And not so much pursue it in a striving manner, but to accept it in a drinking in manner. Knowing that he is giving it to us.
He's already given it to us. So, Kurt, do you want to read here verse 16 through 17? You had some thoughts on this that I think will be...
Let's see. I will read it. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. There's a an expectancy he has for us as well. That word longed to see. These people wanted is almost the word I think that's used for lust in other places, that they were craving to see what we now have. And we now have our scriptures, all of these things. And sort of woe to us if we don't take advantage of this. Jesus tells us, to whom much is given, much is required. And we need to get out of the choking roots and get on with that crop. Mm. And he has that for us, and we don't want to squander it. Mm.
Oh, and there's an example that you had brought up just around the underground church in China. Yeah. I think that'd be good for us to
hear. No, I've read a lot of accounts of different missionaries, and there was one particular, and you hear about this all the time, that they would drive out hours and hours, almost days, into a remote place, all these underground churches, their pastors, and they would go into this little walled place where nobody could see them. And as they were praying and worshiping, the next day, somebody was going around, and there was quite a little bit of a rustle going on, because he was going around with the Bible, and he was tearing a couple of pages out, handing them to the various pastors, so they were all going to have different ones. And they were so excited to get this new passage of Scripture that they were going to be able to bring back to their church and share it with them. And when they would come back together, they would trade those off. They longed
to hear from God. And that's how desperate they were. And yet some of us, our Bible can sit on our shelves for months, can it not? The Word of God that He's given us to be able to till up the soil of our hearts can sit on the shelves while there's still people in far countries that they can't even have access because it's illegal to have the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword, that divides soul and spirit, bone and marrow, because the enemy knows that this is where we meet with our Father and turn our faces back to Him. Right? So as we look at the Word, as we look at His spoken Word, both the Logos and the Rhema, it's so important for us to recognize that this is a gift from our Father. That this is what He gave us as a result of the ministry of His Son, Jesus. And so for us, woe to us if we see Jesus working in our lives, if we hear even a convicting in our spirit, and we say, no, Jesus, that's enough. We're going to sit back. We're going to let maybe some weeds grow in our lives. We're going to let the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke us out. And the reason that Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil in our lives so that we could have freedom as sons and daughters in Him. And so today, we're actually going to have a little bit of a practice, an experience of actually leaning into hearing from God, but we're going to start with communion. Because this is the place, if you want to clear out the soil in your life, if you actually want to hear from Him, so often our hindrance to hearing from God is our own sin and our own rebellion, our own waywardness from Him, our own desires that steal us away. And this is the place where we come back to the table, as even Vicky said, as we talked about last week, that the Father has a table prepared for us. And so as we take communion today, this is the starting point to hearing from God. This is a recalibration point to say, God, I receive yet again the seed that is meant to bear fruit in my life. And so we take the bread together, knowing that this is the body that Jesus sacrificed for us so that we could be whole in Him. And so we take the bread and the cup, the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of our sin, the righteousness of Jesus poured onto us so we can be whole in the presence of our Father. Thank you, Jesus. So go ahead, Kurt and Vicky, you guys lead us.
So you're going to have a practice. I'm going to lead into it. Vicky's actually going to lead the practice. But before that, to create a bit of anticipation for you, I have my own Kurt's hierarchy of experiencing the Holy Spirit. And I like to talk in the third person every now and then. But what it is for me is when I'm going to God, He'll do various things, my interaction with Him. One is that He actually gives me a word. Usually it's just a short phrase of encouragement, and I'll write it down in some way. I like to call it a love nugget almost. Because I could be going through some sort of angst. I don't know what it might be, but He'll stop me and he'll give me that. Basically, he's saying, I'm with you, here's something. And all of that just goes away, all of the pain, anxiety. And then there's one of you just feel like you're in his presence. That's number two. And that's just great. It's just a place where you begin to worship him. Number three is when you're actually in his word and you're meditating on it, not just trying to get through it, get through a chapter or two. No, you're meditating on it. But the interesting part about number three is that can easily get into number one, because Jesus will leap off the pages at you and put you right back in that place. And you might have read one verse and you'll close it up because you can't do anything else, because you got to be with him. And number four is honestly this type of thing, where we get together, and Vicki's going to encourage that right after we do this practice, is that to talk to each other about Jesus. And that's just so important. So here's sort of, well, actually, do you guys have similar way? What's a highlight for you guys?
When I read his word, and I see specifically in the passage, whether it's in Jesus' words or the prophets, when I say, oh, Lord, that's a gift from you for my heart today, for my soul. I think that's where it leads me into a place of just worship and intimacy and relationship with my Father, and say, you are so near and present. And I think it's just, it cascades from there.
Just a quick example of something that happened this week. I was sitting with him, and I had my Bible open, and I had asked him a question, something I was concerned about, and then I like to just sit and wait and to hear from him. And he led me to the exact scripture, and I, at the same time, heard him speak to me, and it was something that he wanted me to lay down. It was an obedience thing, but it brought tears, because I knew it was from him. I knew it so clearly, but joy because he'd responded to me, you know. So there was that depth of intimacy that I couldn't explain to anyone else, because it was just for me, you know. So that's what I think is so cool.
Amen. You know, I've never heard his audible voice, nor have I ever seen him appear before me, but that would go to number one, by the way. Should that take place, I'll let you know. So to kind of cue us up for what Vicki's going to lead us through, this is a simple thing. This isn't the only way to do it, but this really helped me years ago begin to get in his presence. And I've mentioned this even in the church a few times, but four keys to hearing God's voice. One is to find a quiet place. Now, you're not going to be able to do that so much here. However, you won't be talking. You'll be just alone. Put the cone of silence over you. And really what that means in the future, though, is, as I see it, is that there are no imminent distractions that are going to come. You're with him, and there's nothing that's going to interfere with that. Next, where we seek his face, where we picture ourselves with him. Maybe you pray to the Father, maybe you pray to Jesus, maybe to the Spirit. What does that look like? Can you put yourself in a room and just sort of picture? And all that's about getting your mind focused in the right way. Using the imagination that God gives us. And then there's so many distractions coming at us, so much information in our lives that our mind is always a whir, but God is also speaking to us all the time. So how do you dissect that? How do we tune it out? So you go back to your old FM receiver, and you had a fine tuner on that, and you would get that station in real clear. There would be no interference on that. So you're in a quiet place, you're imagining God, you're imagining yourself with him. Now you're just listening for him. It's going to be a short, small thing maybe that it'll be. But we're going to guarantee that you'll hear from him in these next few minutes. And then finally, when he does give you something, write it down. And just from my own experience, one of the things I do, I have a little room in the basement, and it's just drywall. I didn't paint it. Each time he gives me something, I write it on the wall. So I've got this graffiti thing going on down there. But when I do that, or if I write it in paper, some of you may journal, and I used to write more, but I never looked at it again. When I write down what he tells me, months later, I'll open up and I'll look at it. It's like jumping off the page at me again. Mm. It's really something. Mm. So, Vicki, what are we going to do?
All right. So, right now, everyone, you in your bulletin, there was a piece of paper, and you might have gotten a pen, I think. If not, maybe you have one. And if you need more, there's some up back if you didn't get one, something small. And then I want you to just get comfortable in your seat. In just a minute, we're going to close our eyes, and we're going to practice hearing from him. We're going to do a little heart check today, and we're going to invite God to speak to us individually, and he will. He's going to in just a minute. So go ahead, close your eyes, everyone. We're just going to get quiet. And then what I'd like you to do, think about who do you pray to most? Do you pray to Father God? Do you pray to Jesus? And then I want you to just picture him for a minute. Sometimes I picture him, he and I, sitting on a bench on a hill or walking, Jesus and I, beside railroad tracks. So just picture Jesus or Father God. And then I'm going to say a question, and I want you to ask him that question. And then we're just going to get quiet. It's going to be about 30 to 60 seconds. And you're just going to listen to what pops into your mind. And you might hear a word, you might hear a phrase, a scripture might come to mind, you might see a picture. And then I want you to open your eyes and just write whatever comes to your mind. Don't try to analyze it, just write whatever comes to mind. It's just as the enemy comes to us with lies and speaks lies, Holy Spirit speaks truths to us, and that's what he's about to do. So here's the first question. What kind of soil is my heart? Go ahead and ask him. And when you're ready, write what you hear. And then next, we're going to think about what you heard, what kind of soil he said your heart most exemplifies. Maybe it was rocky soil or the weeds and the thorns. And so the question is, what needs to go so that I can cultivate greater intimacy with you, Lord? And maybe he said, good soil, your heart is full of good soil. Then ask him, what soil do I revert back to when I am pressured? So what needs to go so I can draw closer to you? We're going to wait and again listen and write. So, Father God, we thank you for speaking to us. We thank you that you're always present, and that whether our minds and hearts are attuned to you or not, you're always speaking, and you're speaking words of love and encouragement and direction and peace. So we thank you for what you've done in this moment. We just give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.